Hey, greetings, everyone. It's Brother Tupos from DontParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, I want to come to you today and bring a topic that is timely, and I think it'll bless you. I'm calling it Lamenting Over God's Enemies. Lamenting over God's enemies. What I've found is that in the body life, the Christian fellowship, the ecclesia, there's a situation that comes up. It happens virtually in everyone's life. And most all believers have to endure this at some point. And it is the lamenting or belaboring of blood family or friends that won't make the journey when you decide to follow Christ, you're born again. They claim him, they're religious, but they don't want to obey him. They make their own way. They live worldly, they live carnal. They're in some denomination or some other religious group or cult. And you can't be part of their life. And you have to separate from them. It creates a lot of issues. That's what I want to talk about. Ultimately, they are God's enemy. That's who we're focused on, the people that claim Christ, but they walk in their own rebellion and sin. So what happens is many people in the body, when people have this, they allow it to linger, and they allow it people to stay in this state of mourning over people, lamenting over their enemies, whether it's, you know, husbands, daughters, uncles, mothers, grandfathers, sons, and they allow saints to really linger in their flesh when it comes to this lamenting over enemies. Oh, I wish they could make this journey, and oh, how much I miss them, and oh, this, and oh, that. Well, we're going to cover that. I've learned in my life, in my house, and in ministry, and in the bodies I've been involved in, swift action to address it, then get going past it, really helps you gird up your loins and get ready for battle through this Christian life. Let's talk about battle. Ephesians 6, are we not in a spiritual battle? Go read about it. It tells you about all the armor we got to put on. I have a question. When you're in a war, we're in a spiritual war, do you sit around? And if you get a wound like this, you have to let go of a family member or a child or a sibling or something because of their rebelliousness, even while they claim Christ. Do you sit around and play with that wound in the middle of a war? What's going to happen? You're going to end up a total casualty. Or do you quickly fix the wound, get going back in the war, and get going for the commander that's called you, right? Paul says, no one who's called to be a soldier gets entangled in the things of the world. Well, that would be these people that are enemies of God, don't really want to serve him biblically, want to do their own way. You can't get entangled in this. We're in a war, right? So many people, this is really especially to new believers that are learning the faith, they struggle in the flesh, leaving these people behind and going for Christ. The Bible tells us to leave them behind and go for Christ. After we preach the gospel to them, call them to repentance, and they won't obey and come, we go, and we must leave them. We'll get to that. For this teaching, I want to focus on those saints who have left those people in their past, recent past, people that claim a faith, but they're not serving God, they're rebellious and sinful. And in most cases, it causes a huge stumbling block in their life, in the body, and I want to address that today. Now, I've taught on biblical separation quite a bit. Go to the teaching blog at DontParish.com. You can look up the articles on it. We're told to mark and avoid those that claim God but live in sin. Yep, very clear. And why do we do this? It's all redemptive, so they can see their sin, so that they can realize the weight of it. They've lost their mom, their dad, their body, their uncles, their cousins, their brothers, their sisters. They lose fellowship over their sin. It's supposed to bring them to repentance. But if it doesn't, it means they love their sin more than they love you. Have you ever thought about that? Hey, they love their sin more than they love God. They're in a dangerous place. Yeah, they're an enemy of God. Romans 16, 17, 18. But I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. It says avoid them. That means no talk, no dinner, no visits, no phone calls, no texting. Mark them, avoid them. Verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Yeah, this is talking about wicked people that use wicked, lying ways to deceive other people. You can't be with these people. I don't care if they're your sons, your daughter, your uncle, your aunt, your grandparents, your neighbor. For the glory of God, to obey God. Remember the gospel, faith in Christ, his shed blood, repentance, new life, obeying him as fruit, and enduring in the end. Hey, obedience right here. The word of God calls you to avoid these people, does it not? So the reason we get them out of the body and out of our life is their leaven, that's sin. And this can affect us and others around us that struggle with all kinds of issues. Galatians 5:9, Paul says a little bit of leaven, sin, affects the whole lump. So we don't want sin in our New Testament body. We don't want sin in our life. We don't want sin in our house. Now, we in our little fellowship that we have, we know saints all over the world that we fellowship with as we travel, and we're very close for daily communication with them, the ecclesia, the called out ones of God. We had a brand new saint come in to the body, and they were dealing with the fact that they had to leave children behind that are in a religious cult that tramples the truth and the blood of Christ, and they had to leave them behind. Well, what it did was it caused another saint hearing about it. It wasn't this new saint's fault, but it caused another saint hearing about it to now think about his relatives he's got to leave behind as he's going on in his new life, and it caused him to stumble. So this fleshly way that comes in, a focus on, oh, I got to leave them. Yeah, it's something we got to do. It's part of the body life, but it can become an issue and cause many, many bad situations. We also had this situation. Yeah, we did. False men, false teachers, wolves, wicked men were allowed to get right in front of a sheep. This never should have happened. Let's confess it. We've talked about it in the body. We had a plan against it. It never should have happened, but it did happen. A newer saint let it happen. It's forgiven. We dealt with it. They know what to do next time. We're moving on. But they were allowed to bring, ready, these false teaching wolves, these wicked carnal men. They were allowed to bring hugs and gifts to a new saint that just left them over the truth of God. Think about that. They didn't get a rebuke. They didn't get the gospel they needed. They needed to be sent off. What they got was a chance to stand before a saint, which should never happen. I already dealt with that. But let's talk about this. Some people will say, well, at least she got to have closure with those people. Well, let me talk about this for a second. We never get closure by hanging out with wolves and wicked false teachers and enemies of God to heal our heart. You know who we need to heal our heart? We need to go to the Holy Spirit and the Word and the Lord to heal our heart. Yeah, that's idolatry. Looking to heal your heart with the wolves and the wicked enemies of God, we need to heal our heart with God. Is he not able? I say he is able. We don't get closure with those people that hate God's truth. I would ask, where is the allegiance of any saint that goes and seeks closure with the enemies of God rather than God? Now, I know some saints are new. They don't understand. I'm not causing them, saying that they're doing willful sin here. When you knew, you don't know things. I get it. And that's what the body's there to do, to teach them and train them, right? So not trying to point a finger at anyone, just explaining the situation so you can know about it and you can watch and you can warn against it. So I want to be clear here. I'm not cold-hearted. We understand that there's flesh involved, that we have to kill it, that we have to get past it. It can be hard. It'll take time. I've done it all. My wife has done it all. We've lost family, children, grandchildren. Yes, we've lost everyone for the cause of Christ. Yeah, that's right. We don't see our grandchildren anymore because of Christ. They were taken from us because of who we are in the Lord. That's a whole nother story. We know the pain. We know what this is. So we understand that it is flesh to get past. But that doesn't mean that we allow it to be openly lamented or done in the body. Even grandchildren would be different. If you can't see your little 2-year-old grandchild, That might be a little different because he's not a false teacher rebelling against God. We're really talking about here grown people that rebel and hate God. All right? That's what we're talking about here. And again, it could be husbands, daughters, uncles, wives, children. No partiality. Remember? Remember, saints? God hates partiality. Go read 1 Timothy 5. God talks about all over through the scriptures. He's not partial. So we can't be partial. So we have to watch out for this sin. I know it's flesh that we have to get past, but we don't cater to it. And that's what I'm going to cover in this. We kill it. We get rid of it. I want to explain my approach on this and test me to the Word of God. I think it's sinful to allow anyone in a true New Testament ecclesia body to hold on to any amount of outward lamenting and being openly sad and talking about and confessing it openly to a lot of people towards people that are enemies of God. Now, if they need to confess to somebody and say, I'm really hurting, great. Do it, confess it, get it over with, say it. Then we're going to move on and we're going to show you how to move on, but we're going to show you why you need to move on. Ready? So yeah, confess it. I'm hurting. Then let's move on from it. And we're going to talk about how. Here's why we don't stay in that. Here's why we don't stay in that. Ready? We place them above God's glory. If we focus on them, we're putting it above God's glory. How about this one? We're prideful, thinking we know best and how we should do this versus God's word. That's prideful. That's the original sin. How about it's looking back, not forward in our walk? Yeah, we're going to talk about a verse about that. How about we steal God's glory as we're wasting time that we could be working for his kingdom? We're laboring on his enemies. Think about that. How about we bring leaven into the body? We already covered that. How about it's selfishness as they really make us feel good in our flesh, our carnal flesh? But is it good, pure, true, godly love? No, it's enemies of God that hate God, and you're basically consorting with them, as they would say. How about we make idols of his enemies? That's kind of a scary thought. And how about it's a terrible witness to everyone? Yeah, so those are the reasons why we want to move past it. Quickly, it's not going to help you. There's many other reasons. It's not going to help your walk. You're not going to grow. It's going to stumble others. Doesn't glorify God, all those things. So we're going to move on and talk about how we can do this. Now, recently in a fellowship meeting we had, I made the statement, and I kind of said it kind of bold. I said, I don't care about your flesh, saints. I care about your eternal soul. The context of me saying that was, I'm really less concerned if you hurt a little bit over some wicked enemies of God you have to leave behind. But I'm more concerned that you get going in the spirit and serve God and get strong and get in this war and start walking and maturing yourself. That's what I'm more concerned with as a man that's looking after saints. Not, oh, my flesh is hurting a little. Yeah, we care if you're starving. We care if you need clothing. We care to take care of your basic needs. I don't really care that you miss someone that's a wicked false teacher because they used to give you carnal flesh in your life. I don't really care about that, I'll be honest with you. I love your soul too much to care about that. So I wanted to cover that in context. What we want to do is get you strong in the spirit and beat the flesh to a pulp. We're going to talk about that too. So my real focus is this. When a saint cries or laments over those they've left behind that are enemies of God, we, the body, can either do this. We can allow them to openly indulge their flesh, to sit in it, to lament, to mourn over it. And we all cry with them and get all emotional and fleshly with them. And this takes a long time. And I've found when people do that, it happens over and over and over and over and over. Yeah, I'm being redundant. That's one approach. Or we tell them, yeah, it's fleshly. We know your flesh is going to hurt. But it's disobedience and rebellion against God. It's not walking in the Spirit. It's not glorifying to God. You need to repent of that. Cut it out because it is sinful. It is rebellion. It is fleshly. You need to stop that and get up and get going as a saint of God. Yeah, I do believe that. I believe that's the way we handle this. And it's like any other sin. Can you think of any other sin we would allow in the ecclesia body? And just, we would say, we know, we understand, it's hard. No, we'd say, you know what? You got to get rid of it. You got to repent. You got to pluck it out. We're going to talk about that too. Plucking, cutting, getting rid of. So it doesn't have to be this big drawn out issue. Because as humans, we tend to what? Love and pamper our flesh, do we not? Yeah, let's admit it. We all want to do that. But no, we're not supposed to. What are we supposed to do? Crucify our flesh. We're going to get to that too. All right, so I have a question. Speaking of crucifying, when you read this scripture, Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. I have a question, saints and seekers, if you're listening. Does that sound like a gentle indulging of the flesh so it eventually dies of old age? Or does it mean a harsh killing of it to serve God? Crucify. You know what crucify is? It's a grueling, wicked, painful death, but it's relatively quick. It doesn't last days, weeks, months, and years. It lasts a few hours. Yeah, that's true. Most men died, from what history says, within 6-8 hours of being crucified. I understand it might take longer in your flesh to get over some of these things. I'm not saying you get 6 hours, but what I'm saying is it needs to be done quickly. Crucify your flesh. So now you no longer walk and fulfill the deeds of the flesh, right? The goal is that they take that inner flesh struggle to God, cry out, be healed in prayer, in study, and that they kill the flesh, crucify it. And they aren't allowed to do it openly in the body over and over, living in this sin of being united or lamenting over God's enemies and being approved of, saying it's okay, it's okay. It's not okay. I'm just going to say it. It's not okay. It's not okay if you do it. It's not okay if another saint does it. It's not okay if I do it. When we had to deal with all of the pain in our life, we had to get it done, put it away, and move and march on because we had ministry, we had other saints to take care of, we had street preaching to do. We didn't have time to sit around and lament. That's another thing. Keep yourself busy. We're going to give you some points. Keep yourself busy in the things of God. Set your mind on the kingdom of God. You'll have less time to worry about the enemies of God who hate his truth. Does all that make sense? Let's go to our master, our Messiah. He was brutal in this area, in this topic. Ready? What did he say to do with somebody who lives in sin but won't leave their sin? Matthew 18:8-9. Wherefore, if thy hand, or excuse me, this one's talking about pluck it out, cut it out. We'll do the Matthew 18 one coming up. He said, Matthew 18:8-9. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter life maimed, rather than having two hands or 2 feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it's better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Now, it's a whole nother teaching topic. Did he mean literally cut your hand off? What he was saying was take swift action to get rid of the things that impede you, that are sinful, that will keep you out of the kingdom and will put you in hell. Lamenting over God's enemies will not help you into the kingdom. It is sin. You got to get rid of it. How about Matthew 8:21-22? Where Jesus says about what to do with these old relatives. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. Yeah, these rebellious enemies of God are dead spiritually to us, and we're to move on. We don't go back for funerals. We don't go back for weddings. We don't go back if they're sick. We don't go back to see them. We don't go back for cookies, hugs. We don't go back for family reunions. We go onward for Christ. Those people behind us, till they repent, then we'll help them and bring them right up with us because we love them. But we don't linger. We don't lament over God's enemies. Matthew 18:17. How did Jesus say to deal with a man in the body that won't leave his sin? And if he shall neglect to hear them, the whole body, tell it to the church or the ecclesia. And if he neglect to hear the ecclesia, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Basically, put him out like a publican. They were the worst of the worst in Jesus' day. How about Paul, 1 Corinthians 5:5-7. He wasn't any nicer about sin. and deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glory not good? Know ye not that a little leaven the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Yeah, Paul was saying, get the sin out. So we get these enemies of God out of our life, and then guess what? We got to get them out of our heart. We got to get them out of our head. We got to get them out of the body, and we got to put them away and move on quickly. No lingering, no lamenting, no indulging the flesh. Take it to the Lord. He is able to overcome and help you. It's a lot like any other sin, this lamenting, no different. It'll destroy your faith. It'll infect others. It steals God's glory, puts separation between you from you and God. It steals your joy. Don't go there, saints. Don't go there. Do not stay in your flesh on these things. Get going in the spirit. We'll read about that. You know, we just read about 1 Corinthians 5, the man sleeping with his stepmother. Yeah, that was his sin. Can you imagine? He gets reinstated back in the body later. Praise God, he repented. Can you imagine if he would have came back and said, you know, I really miss being with her. I really miss being with my stepmother. Oh, my heart is aching for her. You think Paul would have said, we understand, you know, take a lot of time in your flesh. We'll talk it out. You don't know. Paul would have said, purge yourself of that. That's sinful. That's not pure and good and true of God. He would call him carnal minded. Yeah, go read 1 Corinthians 3. If we lament over God's enemies, or we act in our flesh and stay in it in carnality in any way, Paul would call that being a carnal-minded Christian. That's danger. Paul rebuked them for that. Ponder that. All right, so let's look at some examples in the Bible of people that take us to good examples of what we're talking about. How about Moses in Exodus 32, 26, 28? And then Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side. Go in and out from the gate and to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell that people on that day 3,000 men. Isn't that interesting? 3,000 fell that day. In Acts 2, 3,000 come into the ecclesia of the body. I think that's pretty interesting. Look at that. Those men in Moses' day had to go and slice their neighbors, their sons, their uncles, their cousins to pieces with a sword because of their rebellion against God. All you and I have to do is mark them, avoid them, and move on. Let them live their own life. That's what they want. They want to go live worldly, carnal. They want to do their own false man-made religion. We don't have to kill them. We don't have to hack them apart. Praise God. It isn't that hard if you don't make it hard. We're going to talk about that too. How about Nadab and Abihu? You hear these guys? Leviticus 10, 1 and 2 and 6. The sons of Aaron took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire to the Lord, which he commanded them not. Strange fire. Yeah, this is what we talk about. Offering Christmas, Easter, Good Friday. All of these false ways before God that he doesn't ordain. Look what it says. And there went out fire from the Lord, devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Yeah, it turned them into charcoal briquettes. What does Moses say? Oh, we feel real bad. We're going to miss them. We're really lamenting over these guys. Nope. Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren and the whole house of Israel bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. Basically, don't feel bad for these guys. Don't be lamenting for these guys, all right? And we're going to see, I'm sure, the awe and the power of God fell upon them. We're going to see other cases. How about Lot's wife? Genesis 19, 24 through 26. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Yeah, Lot's wife looked back. What was she doing? Lamenting. Oh, I'm going to miss that place. I like that place. We don't know exactly why, but it wasn't good. She's turned to a pillar of salt. Look what it cost her. Look what her flesh and her lamenting cost her. She became a pillar of salt. Luke 9:62, Jesus says, no one looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Remember that. If we want to lament in our flesh and look back at the enemies of God. How about Acts 5? Acts 5, 5, 10, and 11. And Ananias heard these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Peter judged him. The Holy Spirit judged him. And great fear came all on them that heard these things. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. His wife died also. The Holy Spirit killed her. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the ecclesia and upon as many as heard these things. No lamenting. No, oh, I really liked Ananias and Sapphira. Fear. Fear. And it says later, the apostle did many signs and wonders. People were added to the body. They didn't lament over these people that were in sin and were basically God's enemy. He killed them. They weren't his friends. Interesting. That's just some examples of how the Bible deals with these type of things. There's many more. In the body, I think the older saints that are seasoned, mature, they need to counsel these younger, newer saints on leaving God's enemies, put it behind them. Yeah, it's going to hurt in the flesh, but you know what? You know what the remedy is? Ready? It's pretty simple. Get out of your flesh and walk in the Spirit. You claim the Spirit of God. You claim to be born again. Get out of the flesh, walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:8 says you can't please God in the flesh anyway. So when you're in your flesh over the enemies of God, you're not pleasing God. Wow. Where's your allegiance? Towards the enemies of God or towards God who redeemed you at the stake with his shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection? That's something we all need to ponder, isn't it? How about Philippians 3, 18, 19? For many walk of whom I've told you often, and now I tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the stake of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Yeah, enemies of the cross. You don't obey it, you don't honor it, you don't live for it, you're an enemy of the cross. We don't want to be lamenting those people. I think in this teaching, I need to give you some tips on getting past these enemies of God and getting passing in your flesh and doing it quickly. Okay? This is what I learned in my life, my house, and the bodies that I've been involved in. Ready? Realize that these people, sons, daughters, mothers, cousins, uncles, husbands, they got the gospel, they hate God's truth, and when God judges, he's just and fair and righteous always. Do you believe that? If you do, quit lamenting over them. Get going. Right? Get going. How about hand them over to God, because they're not yours anyway. I just told a brother, he's got precious little children. I said, brother, they're not really yours, are they? Oh, you're just a steward of them till they grow up. And he said, yeah, that's true. They're not yours. Don't be covetous. Don't be prideful. They're not yours. They're God's. Hand these people over. Literally hand these people over to God and say, they're yours, God. I got to move on and serve you. Here's one. Get involved in deep Bible study. You need it as a new believer. We all need it. Seek the kingdom every day with all that you are. Pour out to other saints. And it helps you with your focus of pouring out, not being so self-focused on you and how you feel and how everything's going in your emotions. Pour out to others. There's people hurting and in need and people that need things from you. Reach out. Get involved with others. Get studied in the Word. Become part of the body. Be active. Set your mind on things above, as Colossians 3:2 says. How about this? Ready? Here's a big one. Pay attention. Look around you at all the people that are dying and going to hell that have never heard the biblical gospel. Look out your window. Look at the Walmart you go to. Look at the gas station. Go for a walk. Are you crying about all those people? Women, men, children, husbands, wives, uncles, cousins, Muslims, whoever they are, non-believers, believers that have a false gospel. Have they been told the true gospel like your enemies of God that you said goodbye to and they don't want it, they just throw it out the window? Are you crying over those people? If not, you have sinful, terrible partiality. It's one of the things that being a traveling preacher has taught me. I love everybody equally because I'll preach the gospel and treat everyone the exact same way. And God knows my heart and God knows my wife's heart on that, because we pour ourselves out to the bum and drunk in the gutter, to the guy in the million-dollar motorhome, and everybody in between, including our brethren and whoever God puts in our path that will listen. Don't be partial. Are you crying and lamenting for all these other people? How about realize that God hates workers of iniquity? Yeah, he does. Go read Psalm 5:5. It says, I hate workers of iniquity. These people that hate the gospel and won't obey it and serve Christ, God hates them. He does. Now, he showed love sending Christ, and they can be redeemed if they'll repent. But if you don't come to Christ via the gospel, you don't get the love of God. You get the wrath, which is the hate of God. That's a whole nother topic. I've got articles on that. How about this one? If God hates them, do you want to be caught lamenting over them, thus standing on the side of God's enemies that he's going to judge and hate? That's something to think about here. This is serious stuff. In a war, you would be called a traitor. And in most countries, they shoot you or hang you for being a traitor, consorting with the enemy. Yeah, it's true. They do. How about this one? Get some righteous anger going over this rebellious people that claim God. They're trampling his blood, denying the gospel, living their own life. It's a great tool, righteous anger. It's a great tool to help you overcome your flesh and crucify it, because you get the mind of God and you hate what he hates, love what he loves, instead of feeding your flesh. This is the whole thing we're talking about here. So that's a good thing to ask yourself. Do you have righteous anger over those that name his name but deny his truth? Where's your allegiance if you don't? That's what I would ask you. When we're talking about anger, many people will challenge us, but Jesus made a whip and he used it on men in John 2. And Paul says this, Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Yeah, you can be angry and not sin. I hate abortion. I don't hate the people that do it. I wish they'd repent. I hate mass murdering of people. I can't say that I hate the mass murderers, because I'm no better than them in so many ways, and I wish they'd come to the gospel. But you see my point. We can have righteous anger over something. And if you have righteous anger over people that claim the name of our Savior and trample his blood and live worldly, false religion, selfishness, carnality, pride, vanity, whatever, you should get righteous anger over that. That will help you kill your flesh. So as I'm trying to round this out here, I get a little emotional about this because we deal with this a lot. Based on my experience and what I know from Scripture, I recommend to all fellowships that you men have a clear teaching that when it comes to lamenting over God's enemies, when you got to put them away, biblical separation we're talking about, that it can't be done openly and keep going on in the body where it's going to affect everyone. No, it's a sin. It can't be allowed. Confess your sin to somebody. Go cry to God, get your flesh out, get walking in the Spirit, get going, saints. There's no time to be lamenting over God's enemies the way I've seen it done so many times. Last thought, Jesus said this. I just did a teaching on this. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Ponder this, saints. How hard are you making it on yourself by hanging on to these enemies of God that are wicked, dead, sinful, rebellious people versus letting them go and following the one who shed his blood, died for you, rose again, called you, loves you, forgive you, cleansed you, makes the way for you? How much effort are you giving the Redeemer versus all the energy, effort, and flesh into these false people? You're making your yoke and your burden really hard when Jesus says, cast that all down, come to me and walk empty-handed, and it's easy to follow me. Yeah, we make it really hard. We make it absolutely really hard. It shouldn't be that way. Our creators made it easy for us. It'll never be totally easy. Jesus said you'll have much tribulation, but we make it harder carrying around all these wicked enemies of God and a lot of other stuff that people carry around. Don't do it, saints. Get out of your flesh. Get in the spirit. Cry out to God. Have him heal you. Don't be getting closure with the wicked enemies of God. Go to scripture. Go to other saints in confidence. Pray it out. Cry it out if you have to in your bed. But get up and get going, and it will not take that long. Crucify your flesh. Don't feed it. Starve it out. And you can then walk in the spirit and glorify God.